Walking in sunlight all of my journey, over the mountain, through the deep air, Jesus has said, I'll never forsake thee, promise divine that never can fail. Heavenly sunlight, heavenly sunlight, flooding my soul.
We'll turn to number 70, 70, 70. We'll sing this song, and then we'll have our scripture reading, and then we'll have our opening prayer. Number 70.
Till
If you'd like to follow along, the scripture reading will be from 1 Corinthians chapter 13. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy, can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. Now we see by the poor reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love.
If you would bow with me, please. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you once more for this glorious and beautiful day that you have bestowed upon us. And for all the things that you do for us, Lord, we thank you for this great country that we have, that we may have the right to choose to follow your will and to worship you. And Lord, as we reflect upon the day tomorrow, upon those who gave their lives, that we may have that freedom, we pray, Lord, that you would, that all would honor the memory of those who have fallen. Lord, we thank you for your Son, for the love that he showed, and the precious blood that he shed on that cross for our sins. We ask, Lord, that you would watch over Robbie, and that he may have complete recollection of all that he is going to take and speak of tonight. We thank you. Ask that you would continue to watch over us this night. We ask for all these things in Christ's name. Amen.
If you would, please mark your songbooks at number 307. 307. It'll be our song of encouragement tonight. Before Brother Robbie brings his lesson to us, we'll sing number 359. 359.
To save a wretch like me,
hope y'all be able to hear me. If not, somebody just raise their hand or do something. I'm trying to get this thing adjusted, but I want to thank the gentleman who done the service tonight. Appreciate it very much. And I want to thank the elders for allowing us to have this fifth Sunday and giving us gentlemen all an opportunity to get up there and preach, give Mike a break, because I know y'all probably want to hear somebody different every now and then, so that gives us a little break. And also I want to thank y'all for being out this evening. If y'all want to go ahead and turn to Matthew chapter 6 right quick, that's where we will start here in just a few moments. But tonight I want to talk about some anchors that are in our lives. Because living in this world as a Christian is the best possible life that one could have. But even though we are Christians, we are not immune to the contrary winds of life that blow our way every now and then. And when it does, it could blow us off course. And just as a boat has an anchor to hold it in place and to hold it steady, we also have an anchor. And of course, that anchor is God. And also, in contrast to this as well, not only do we have God, we have Jesus. And Jesus is our navigator, because Jesus helps us get through our lives and get through all the obstacles that we may encounter. Because a good navigator, number one, identifies the destination. Number two, he plots the course. Number three, he thinks ahead. Number four, makes course corrections as needed. And number five, stays with the people. So I want to notice tonight some of those anchors that we may face in our life. The first anchor is worry. And we know that worry is basically fear or anxiety of what might happen. Because the dawning of each new day brings us face to face with news about war, crime, the stock market. And with all the social media, that follows us throughout the day, every day. But, you know, despite all that, we still have places to go, we still have things to do, deadlines to meet, bills to pay, and etc. And if we're not careful, because all this stuff that we're doing, if we're not careful, this anchor of worry will keep us from finding the peace in our lives that we need. But Jesus, our navigator, tells us in John chapter 6, verse 48, I am the bread of life. Now, prior to these verses, he had just fed the 5,000. And then, of course, they being Jesus and the apostles, of course, didn't have enough money to feed all them people. But yet, Jesus provided the way. And not only did Jesus provide the way, there were fragments left over. And in verse 13 of John chapter 6, it said there was 12 baskets of fragments left over. So, saying that, Jesus provided a statement about worries that I want to look at. And that's going to be in Matthew chapter 6. And I want to look at verse number 25. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. It is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing. And if you kind of just skim on down through there, you can see there's a lot more verses dealing with worry. I just wanted to read that particular one. So Jesus knows that worry is a reality that we have in our lives. But Jesus teaches us, though, that He is all things to all people who follow Him. And the person of faith does not have to be anchored down by the weight of worry. Because when our focus is on Jesus, the bread of life, then the anchor of worry is cast away. There in Matthew chapter 6, I'd like to read another verse now. If you drop down to verse 33, it says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." I wanted to read that because that points out that we have to keep our focus on what? Our focus on the kingdom of God and righteousness. That's what we have to focus on before anything. And that is how we can lose the weight or the anchor of worry, the weight of the anchor of worry. Next, anchor of despair, which is an emotional state of one whose fears have become reality. Because many times worry can lead to despair, but not all the times. And sometimes unfortunate circumstances happen in our lives and we fall into deep despair. But you know, I think about like a sailor who gets caught out in a storm, you know, on a ship. He's just floating there, not knowing what direction to go, worrying. But all that goes away when he sees the lighthouse, because he knows exactly the direction that he needs to go. Because Jesus, our navigator, in John chapter 8, verse 12, to sum up that verse, he says, "I am the light of the world." Now, we all have times in our lives when despair has set in and will set in. You know, it could be sickness, divorce, death, or whatever it may be. Either way, sometimes it can cast us into the feeling of hopelessness and despair. And sometimes you may ask, well, why me? You know, why? But I want to ask you a question that maybe we need to think about in those situations. Instead of why me, maybe we need to ask, when, Lord? And what I mean by when, Lord, is when will it all end? When will life get back to normal? Because sometimes when we find ourselves in the darkness of despair, just listen to the words of Jesus calling out to us, saying, "I am the light of the world." If you'd like to follow along, let's turn to Romans chapter 8. I'd like to read a verse out of there. Romans chapter 8, verse number 28. "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose." So we see in this verse His purpose. So if it is His purpose, then it's His time. And it may not be on our time, on our timetable, but we still need to focus on the light of the world, then the darkness will vanish away. Because our light and our hope during any kind of darkness is Jesus, our Savior. So when our focus is on Jesus, the light of the world, then the anchor of despair is cast away. Thirdly, the anchor of improper influences. And I'm sure some of y'all have heard the saying that iron sharpens iron. And we know that influence is a very powerful thing, and it's the only thing that can walk back from the grave through people. And many Christians suffer from a life without proper direction. And it could be caused many times by the anchor of negative influences in our lives. So improper influences can keep us from finding peace and being what we ought to be and living up to what we know that we can do. But Jesus, our navigator, says in John chapter 10, verse 11, "I am the good shepherd." And we know that shepherds love their sheep, and the sheep follow the shepherd, much like a ship follows the rudder. But sheep don't so much follow the hand signals of the shepherd or his verbal commands so much. The sheep follows his feet. So where he walks, they follow. So that's what we need to do. We need to follow. We need to watch Jesus, read about Jesus, and to picture his feet, just follow him wherever he may go. Because Jesus gave his life for us, for his sheep. But he also gave us a life, a perfect life, that we need to try to follow and emulate. Now in John chapter 10, if you'd like to follow along with me. John chapter 10, verse number 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. So Jesus calls us to live lives which are different from the world around us, and he's given us an example of how to do that, because he is our guide, or our rudder, through the voyage of life. So when our focus is on Jesus, the Good Shepherd, the anchor of improper influences is cast away. Next, we have the anchor of vulnerability, which is the capability of being wounded. Now, I want you to think back just for a moment what it must have been like to live in the Garden of Eden. You know, there's no grief, no shame, no controversy, and most importantly, no sin. But then one day that all changed, and Adam and Eve became vulnerable. And since that day, mankind has lived in a state of vulnerability, because that is what sin does to us. It wounds us, and we all have been wounded by sin. Because there's a very well-known verse, Romans 3:23, that says, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." But Jesus, our navigator, tells us in John chapter 14, verse 6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." So many people will find themselves today drowning in a vulnerable state of sin, never realizing that Jesus is a lifeboat that can save them. And this is where and when we as Christians need to come into the picture to all of those who have lost their way and tell them that Jesus says that he is the way. To those who are asking, what is truth? We need to tell them that Jesus is truth. To those wondering what life is all about, we need to tell them that Jesus is life. And to those seeking for a path to everlasting life, we need to tell them that Jesus says, "No man cometh unto the Father but by me." So are you drowning in vulnerability of sin this evening? Because the answer to your problem is Jesus, our navigator, because he has said, "I am the bread of life, I am the light of the world, I am the good shepherd, and I am the way, the truth, and the life." And he is all these things, and by accepting him today and obeying his commands, the burden of sin can be lifted from your soul, and if you will let him, he will lead you through the obstacles of life, and he will lift those anchors that you may have in your life. And he will bring peace to your life if you would just let him. So tonight, I want to ask if there's any here who needs Jesus to lead them through the path of life. First thing you need to do is come forward and be baptized for remission of your sins, because that's where it all begins. But also, though, if there's any here who are already a Christian and you have fallen back in the Word or need prayers of the congregation, I'd ask that you would come forward as well as we stand and sing.